We're here. We're recording. We are in progress. We are Binary Jazz, a podcast. Some friends who get together, talk about a topic. Sometimes, not sometimes. Rarely do we know what the topic is. One person brings it. The other two try and figure out what it is. My friend Allison, my friend Chris, I'm Gary. BinaryJazz.us. It links to places where you can find us. We're all over the internet. We're
literally just spraying the internet with our
blasting through tubes all over the internet. You can find us. If you're looking for us, you can find us. We're not a well-kept secret. So you can get the backstory there. We're just gonna get right into it today. We're going 100 miles an hour.
Are we going?
We're going.
I have a topic that I can Chris bring.
Runs the topic.
Yes. So if we're just going to dive right into it, the topic today is Otake Maru.
She won a medal in the last Olympics.
Yes, it is.
A couple months back.
O-T-A-K-E-M-A-R-U. Otake Maru. One word.
Wow, did you all hear that?
I heard something.
No.
What was that?
I'm not sure.
Sounded okay, good. So we're basically about to see you torn from the screen and
yeah. Like a Yeti's gonna reach around and pluck me out of this chair and eat me. If that happens, this should definitely be the most watched episode on the YouTubes. Otake Maru.
I know this.
But do you?
I think so, but I don't know. This is definitely something that I'm pulling from like the weird files of my brain where I'm like, no, this is something you know.
It's
Japanese.
Is it?
Korean.
Maybe.
I will say that it is very specific. Like it's a specific thing
is
as opposed to like
an anime.
I believe.
Now we're playing 20 questions.
You're not wrong, but that is not where it comes from.
Okay, that's comforting because then I'm just like, it must be some like. Otherwise, how would I know it?
But like, I mean, like
it's the. It's that anything like deadly, huge, enormous, deadly squid, right?
Is it? Sure.
Deadly squid.
Sure.
Wait, let's
explore the deadly squid. Deadly squid? You seem to be very specifically talking about a specific deadly squid,
like much larger than any ship in the ocean. Squid with a vendetta, and I don't remember what the vendetta is. It's a squid with a vendetta. I sound like I'm trying to pitch like a summer blockbuster. You know. A squid with a vendetta.
Okay, so what I know, all I know is that, oh my gosh, this is gonna bother me. I'm glad you're gonna reveal it because otherwise the whole day I'd be like it's something to do, and then there's like a fight, and I don't know. I just have like these little like weird brain inklings.
You're definitely warm. You're definitely on the right path. You're chugging down the Otake Maru train. Choo choo.
Is it
leaving the station? Just need to add a little bit more coal.
I got nothing. This is way out of my wheelhouse. So if we're gonna figure this out, it's all on you. No pressure.
Is it, would it be offended that I was calling it an it?
Probably, yeah.
Squids are gendered, I'm just saying. Still holding on to this squid thing.
I mean, there could be a giant squid.
Oh, here's a question.
Here's an answer.
People do like squid ink, like, noodles and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
What? I need to understand this more. Is the is it just a coloring, or is there like a flavoring that it adds to? I could Google this, but I'd rather you all answer.
You're also asking the two people who probably haven't.
I certainly haven't. I eat everything.
But I can tell you what I've heard. I've heard that it adds sort of like a salty, consistency.
That to me seems like the wrong kind of thing to add to food for a salty consistency.
Maybe I shouldn't say use the word consistency. It's not grainy, but it's salty.
I feel like of all the things to add to food, like that's what you're gonna add to these noodles for color. Like if you want them to be darker, like I don't know, there's a lot of other ways to do it. But squid ink, I would absolutely eat it, but very few food things freak me out. This is really on the borderline for me.
I feel like you could have bird spit pasta and it would be the same thing to me.
Yes. And I would likely be in the same camp.
She takes a sip of coffee triumphantly, not wanting to.
Bird spit saliva, but I don't know. I mean, like if it's on the menu, like it must be, I'm curious. I'll try it with trepidation. That's where squid ink falls for me. I'll try it with trepidation along with bird spit.
Wait, did we decide that it is like a giant squid?
No, we didn't decide at all. We just
went down a squid rabbit hole.
Okay.
Squid rabbit. That's my next D&D monster right there. You encounter a squid rabbit.
Instead of leg, it just has a bunch of different ears.
I think it's a squid that hops. Because it has to come out of a hole.
That's so adorable.
I was in a podcast about the jackalope the other day.
That's the sound that it makes, by the way.
Of course.
I'm imagining some people, like they can walk through the forest and be like, whatever animal walked through here, you can tell by the way the grass is bent or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like the trail it leaves behind is like pretty juicy.
When it rains here, which it's rained 1.5 times since we've moved.
Really? That seems awfully dry for Vancouver Island.
It's very dry and we're in drought level 5 and like it's not good.
I've always seen like a big number.
When it's
like whenever you're like putting a level in front of it.
I know, I don't like it. It also means you can't like water your plants most of the day except for like certain hours. And you can only do it with containers, not hoses or anything. So also all our plants are just like really suffering. Like we have apple trees and they have like the saddest looking apples. And I'm like,
sorry.
Oh well.
We had the tail end of that storm that hit New York a couple days ago. 2 days ago, we had the a very tip of it came through here. So for 30 minutes, we had Ron and I were sitting on the porch because it was starting to rain, and it's lovely when it starts to rain here. We were watching the rain, and then like right there was lightning. And before I could even like start to count in my head, like the thunder hit, and I'm like, I'm getting the hell out of here. So I went inside because I didn't want to start by lightning. But so for like 30 minutes, like it was just this like loud like flashing, and the power went out like briefly, like dozens of times, and then it was over, and then it was just like this misting boring rain. But those 30 minutes were intense.
We've had a couple big thunderstorms recently here as well. In fact, we had thunder and lightning last night, and the last time that we got a big thunderstorm, the lightning was closer because I could hear the boom and then or see the flash and then very shortly after hear the boom, and it basically I think kind of went like behind us, like I could sort of see because I was watching the lightning. Last night it was farther away, but the booms were a lot louder. They like rattled the windows and like the floorboards and stuff. It was pretty intense, but it only really hit super loud like I don't know, 2 or 3 times. And we get a lot of lightning storms like without just because it's so dry, so we get a lot of with very minor or with even no rain sometimes, just the storm is rolling through. So like if that lightning hits and sparks on something, then not good for desert Utah in drought season.
I mean, thank goodness that the climate is at least stable and this isn't gonna get worse.
Yeah, for sure.
So wonderful.
Otake Maru.
Does it have something to do with weather?
No. Okay. It's like I know what it's not.
What isn't it? Let's narrow it down by what it's not.
It's not a mineral.
It doesn't have anything to do with the video game Wolfenstein.
Doesn't it? I haven't played
Wolfenstein. Remember that video game?
I never played Wolfenstein. I played other things.
I don't know why it was even allowed in my house.
That was the one where was that the one where you killed Nazis?
Yeah, that was the Nazi one. That was like id Software had done Doom and they're like, let's do Doom but with Nazis instead of demons.
Oh, it was after Doom? For some reason I thought it was before Doom.
I'm pretty sure it was after. Because I think Doom was their breakthrough hit.
Oh, interesting. I thought it was the other way around.
That was my memory. Sure. I could be binary jazzing it right now.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But that's my memory.
And there was a version available on like Windows 3.1 that was in monochrome. So like just, I guess you could change the colors, but I'm pretty sure it was black and white outlines. And so I played that at the time.
Now I'm going to.
On my pastor's laptop. Wolfenstein 3D.
Plot twist.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You didn't see that coming, did you? Yeah. I don't remember why, but I was stuck at the church for something and he let me play on his laptop. So I played Wolfenstein 3D. I don't know how old I must have been. I mean,
it was originally created by Muse Software before being revived by id Software. So it's possible that the original Wolfenstein predated Doom because it was done by a different company and then id took over and did it after Doom. Mm-hmm. That's probably what I'm remembering because I probably didn't even know that it existed until id Software took it.
They're kind of all like in a grouping and of that same era in my mind. So
100%. And probably it was
like why was I was playing these things because my brother was playing these things, like that's the only reason. And he was of the age where it made sense. I was of the age where it was probably highly inappropriate.
Wait, hold on, I want to
what's inappropriate for a gory first person shooter?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like if he's 10 and I'm 6, I probably shouldn't be.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that's Doom or Wolfenstein.
Either, both.
Both fall under that. I think Doom was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I don't remember Doom. I don't remember. I mean, I can't remember. I don't remember either one. Like they're, in my head, they're conflated and they're kind of the same, but I know they're not.
Yeah, I never played Wolfenstein, but I played the crap out of Doom. Doom. Not Dune. I played Dune too, but not the crap.
My games were always like, it's all about system, like SimCity. Oh man, I could rock SimCity and lose myself in that for days.
I once spent 8 hours playing Civilization, like 8 hours straight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I
must complete this next accomplishment.
Did you ever play Rise of Nations?
No. There's a lot of games that like are similar to things that I have played that I never played. Like I never played Age of Empires either.
Yeah.
But I played like StarCraft, but I never played Warcraft.
Well, that's fair. I've never played Warcraft. I've played StarCraft, but I think I just prefer Command and Conquer.
I did play.
I don't need a theme.
I did like, play. Fact, there I think is a, there was a Lord of the Rings, there, Battle for Middle Earth. Was the Lord of the Rings themed real-time strategy game. And I played that, and that was actually pretty cool.
What was the Star Wars version of that? There was like a Star Wars.
There was, I don't remember.
It's called Galaxies, is that what I'm thinking
maybe.
Of?
Maybe, but there was also, I the only real strategy game that was Star Wars that I played was Rebellion, which was freaking amazing. And there's actually a board game based on it now. And it was all about like you played either as the Empire or as the Rebellion, and you're like commanding fleets and ships and like taking command of all that. Like it was like if you were in charge of the rebellion or the empire and you're sending off like your individual like commanders to different places and different planets, and you're sending like troops and transport ships and all this stuff. And then it also had an element where there was like actual like space battles that you didn't command individual ships, but you could like direct the movement of your ships against other ships, which was like the first mm-hmm. time there was any sort of like, you know, massive like space combat thing. It was pretty neat. I really liked that game a lot. But that is not Otake Maru.
It's not Otake Maru.
That's definitely in the category of things that are not Otake Maru. I'll tell you what it also isn't. Okay. Let me find it. This is a freebie. It is not a training exercise in the fictional Star Trek universe designed to test the character of Starfleet Academy cadets in a no-win scenario. It is not that.
What?
It is not. It is not a training exercise in the fictional Star Trek universe designed to test the character of Starfleet Academy cadets in a no-win scenario. It's something else.
I got nothing here. I'm still hung up on the squid.
No contribution.
Now it's a space squid, but I mean that's as far as I've gotten. It's a space squid.
It's the space squid from The Watchmen. It's not the space squid from The Watchmen.
It's a mashup of so the Mon Calamari, right, from Star Wars, like their ship looks kind of squiddish, you know? So it's one of those mashed up with the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy plummeting towards a planet. Oh no, not again. That's it. That's all I got.
And that is a talking bird.
Is it?
No, absolutely not.
It was more dramatic when you were drinking.
I'm gonna be so mad.
Hanging on there. It could be anything. I won't be mad about it because I'll be like, oh, got it. Oh. You know, so we usually have like our segment about food.
I thought that was the squidding.
Oh no, this is good food. My sister-in-law brought over this cantaloupe the other day, and like she took it out of the bag and the entire kitchen like smelled. I'm like, holy cow, that's the most amazing cantaloupe I've ever smelled in my entire life. And it was. So, you know, the kids had some at dinner a couple nights ago. We, you know, just cubed it. Here's some cantaloupe. And last night, we just had pasta, squid ink free pasta with like bread sauce, some kind of tomato sauce. I don't know.
Cantaloupe?
And cantaloupe and some garlic bread. And
in the pasta?
No. In my case, I dropped a couple pieces in, so I had to eat it that way. But mostly it was not in the pasta. And probably two-thirds of my dinner was that cantaloupe. It was so, so good. Like thinking about it now, I'm salivating, actually. And it's gone. I can't have it for lunch. But
good
it was.
Melon? Good melon is good melon.
Yeah. Yes. It was magical. I probably won't remember it in a year, but for the next few days, like I will think on that melon and be like, wow, I'm glad I got to eat that, you know?
And when a year from today, we'll remind you and we'll send you this episode and be like, remember that really good melon?
I'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know what a Otake Maru is. It's a squid, a space squid. Rhonda and the kids went to, there's a farm locally where they grow food. grow food and donate it all to like a local food bank. And so the kids go out there like once a month and plant or pick or whatever needs to be done. And so they went out on Wednesday and planted cabbages. And one of the volunteers there that does like a lot of work was saying, oh yeah, these are going to be like 10-pound cabbages, like they're going to be huge. So I don't know what kind of like monster cabbages these are, but they're, you know, like the starters were very tiny, and you know,
they sound perfect for cabbage rolls.
I don't know, I mean, I'm looking forward to maybe getting our hands on one, because the uglies can't go to the food bank, so the uglies end up going Like, we got some great tomatoes. I don't know. We got some great tomatoes. And it's cool because Charlotte, you know, a 3 years old can actually be involved. So as they're planting these hundreds and hundreds of cabbages, like, her job was to go pick up the trays that they came out of. So she's collecting these trays, and she's like, you know, it's probably maybe a couple dozen people there spread out across this huge field, but, you know, like, a safe place for her to run as far as she wants or can with her little legs, and, you know, still be distanced and safe and talk to, you know, other humans that aren't her family. Yeah. It's a great place.
Can this is a total change of topic, but little legs reminded me of it. Can you all gauge how tall your children are going to be? Or did you have no idea until teenage years? Chris, bouncing this one to you.
Gavin is taller than I, or going to be taller, I think, than I had thought he was going to be.
Because you basically kind of go off, like, percentiles and, like, random data, right? And then you're just
Well, sort of. I didn't. I assumed, because of my build, and I'm kind of medium-sized, and because when I hit puberty, I had a very slow, gradual sort of, it wasn't a growth spurt, it was like a growth crawl. And I sort of just settled in at, like, you know, the size that I ended up being. And it was just really gradual over time. And I assumed the same would be true for him. And also, I sort of backed that up with the fact that his bone structure is more similar to Aaron's and her dad's than it is to mine. He's got, like, bigger bones than I do. And her dad is not super tall. He was, like, a football player, but he was like a lineman sort of. So he's, like, short and not short, but, like, you know, medium size, but stocky and, like, you know, solid. So I assumed that because his bone structure is similar to theirs more so than mine, then he would probably be about my height, but maybe a little bit, you know, like, bigger boned. That is not true. He's already taller than, well, he's already as tall as me. And I expect that that is going to continue because of how quickly he's been growing. Lila, Lila, I think we sort of based our perception of how tall she will ultimately be based on just her sort of trajectory, but also her like build. She has a sort of a fairly like lean athletic build, and I expect her to be pretty tall as well. I expect her to sort of be taller than most of her peers when she is done, but, you know, that remains to be seen. Those are my assumptions. Gavin's already bigger than Gavin is already at the point where I would have expected him to be, and I don't think he's going to stop. My dad's tall. My dad's like, you know, 5'11". So I expect Gavin will be probably up there as well.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I don't know. Like, I don't give a lot of credence to those like percentile bullshit. Mm-hmm. Partially because they said those same things said that I was going to be like 6 feet.
Right.
So, like, I know that wasn't true for me, so I'm basing it off of my experience and what I can actually see with my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. Katie, I don't know how much she's grown in the last year, but, like, it's remarkable. Like, she's several times we're like, well, you need new pajamas because, like, they're halfway up your shins.
Yep.
And, I mean, in the last year, she has just shot up. So. Rhonda and I are exactly the same height. So that'll be fun if, you know, one of the kids is
taller. Oh, you mean as each other?
Yeah.
I thought you meant just like as always. And I was like, well, probably, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron's like maybe a half inch or an inch shorter than I am. Like, it's not that much different. And we basically wear each other's clothes. I mean, we don't, but we could. Like, we have the same size, same shoe size, basically. We have basically the same waist size. Yeah. So like.
That's good if you're in a laundry pickle.
Right.
I was thinking, like, how about driving the car? Like, you don't have to adjust.
Right.
Just get it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing. Like, I drive the van. She drives the van. Like, You just get in, and it's exactly where it's supposed to.
The difference is where she puts the rear view mirror versus where I put the rear view mirror, and I think that has more to do with like posture.
Nothing moves between us. We just use it as is.
Wow.
It's really cool. That's actually like one of my favorite things. As silly as that is.
I mean, we do share shoes a fair bit. We have like swapped boots and swapped shoes, and like I wore her boots to Ren Faire this year.
Nice.
Yeah, because they were cool, like, you know, piratey kind of boots. Or they went with my sort of motif.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have, I mean, if you go to a Ren Faire dressed up, you can't wear sneakers or something.
Yeah, like I have.
You have to really embody the look.
Yeah. Well, we have a pair of Docs that are like not knee high, but calf high Docs that are hers, yeah, but I wear them. And I've worn those a couple years in the past, but this year I wore her. She's got a couple pair of like, they have very like inch or half inch heels or whatever, leather boots, which kind of go with the.
And the lacing, like.
No lacing. No lacing on those.
Okay.
Just slip them right on.
They're just actually really comfortable. Them.
Yeah, Otake Maru them. Just put them through the good old Otake Maru.
The old 1-2 Otake Maru.
This might be the most beautiful day that I've lived in this city. Can I say that?
Is it just because you're in a post-melon haze?
It could be. Wait, 10:30. I got a reminder for a meeting that happened an hour ago.
Is it just meeting?
To set your time back, Gary?
If there was a time setting, I missed it. I'm a little concerned about when the time changes. I actually have no idea when it changes, but I'm a little concerned about it. Like, it's going to be darker in the morning, right? No. Mm-hmm. Wait.
Spring forward, fall back.
What the hell does that even mean?
That means you turn your clocks back.
Or you fall, go, you move back.
Yeah.
So if it's 6 a.m., it's 5. No, wait.
Yeah.
You lose an hour, right?
No, you gain an hour in the fall. You lose an hour in the spring.
Gain an hour.
Because in the spring, you move the clocks forward. So 5 o'clock becomes 6 o'clock. And in the fall, 5 o'clock would become 4 o'clock.
I love how difficult this is for me, honestly.
Yeah.
Every year, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is happening with time right now.
Good thing you're not a farmer.
Right? Like... This is why I love Unix Epoch. Like, you know, how many seconds have passed since January 1st, 1970?
There's a lot of reasons to love Unix Epoch, but apparently this is the one reason to love Unix Epoch. I don't love many things, but I do love Unix Epoch.
That's the blog entry that I would read.
Dang. That's a blog entry I'll never write, but...
It's a very niche audience.
All right, you want to know what Otake Maru is?
I don't think it is.
Or do you want to give a last go?
I think. Gosh darn it! I also will circle back and be like, it has something to do with like anime, mm-hmm, or like a video game. It's in this section of my brain, mm-hmm, and
it's not wrong.
I don't actually have an anime section in my brain, so I.
So
it's like the section of my brain when I went to someone's house and I didn't have the game myself or something. Like, it's the sleepover part of my brain where I'm like, this thing.
Okay, so I will come to Otake Maru through a roundabout way, because everything always boils down
seems
to
so appropriate
for Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
yes.
So one of my players wanted to subclass into Warlock. He's a fighter now, but his fighter concept is like that of a samurai. And he wants to subclass into Warlock. And what makes Warlocks in Dungeons and Dragons different than other magic casters is that they have a patron that they make a deal with that gives them their magical abilities. Most often the patron is like some demon or foul entity that they're signing a contract. It basically like deal with the devil sort of thing. That's the sort of the baseline. So you make a deal with the devil, and then they grant you powers, and then maybe they care about you, maybe they don't care about you, but that's where your powers come from. And if you ever piss off your patron, then they can just revoke. Which is also like a really super interesting concept for me that I've never really been able to explore, because there's lots of dungeon master control that like potential of like throw wrenches into stories and things. So when combining these two concepts, I did some research into Asian folklore mythology, because I wanted, he wants to be a samurai. He wants to have, he wants to be a warlock. How can I mash these two things up? And I already have some sort of base knowledge on like Asian, particularly Japanese, like demons, and because I've done research on like Onis and stuff for other things. So so I was kind of going down that road, and I came across the concept of yokai, and a yokai is just a demon, just a spirit, a malicious spirit in Japanese folklore. But if you go a little bit deeper, there are specific demonic entities in Japanese folklore. Atake Maru is considered a type of yokai, and it's also was also an oni. An oni is sort of a Japanese demon spirit, but it's a very specific one. Atake Maru is a giant, is an oni so powerful and so violent he is considered both demon and god. And there's a story about
probably very upset I was saying it instead of he.
Yes, he would be really pissed.
He's grumpy in general, it sounds like.
Basically, there's a story about Otake Maru where like this samurai was trying to defeat Otake Maru, and he sent like thousands and thousands of soldiers, and Otake Maru just wiped the floor with them, and then he did it again, and he just killed them all. And so he's really just a big bad guy, and is often considered one of the great three evil yokai of Japan.
Wow, that's quite the list.
Yeah, the reason why this is the topic is because Otake Maru is who I landed on as my player's patron. But he doesn't know that, or he doesn't know all of the stuff about like the backstory or who Otake Maru is. He just his actual warlock class is Hexblade, which means that a Hexblade warlock essentially finds a weapon and their patron has imbued the weapon or given them their weapon. Their power sort of comes from the weapon. So he just basically picked up the sword that he thought was cool. Little did he know that it's like, you know, the embodiment of Otake Maru, or the remains of Otake Maru. So yes, there are lots of, and if you do a search for Otake Maru, you're going to ping a lot of anime, because like it's mythology. So a lot of anime uses mythology in the stories. And so it is like, that's the first thing that you get. The stuff that I found has like the most information is from a site called yokai.com, which I guess talks about all the various different yokai and demon and Japanese folklore. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong. Total change topic. I think that Canadian Labor Day is also this Monday. Is that correct? It's Monday, yeah. Holiday.
Yeah,
is it always that way?
Yeah.
Is it and is it similar to the states? Like pretty much everything federally is closed and most businesses are closed.
Most everything's closed. Yeah.
Okay. So it's Labor Day on Monday. And the weird, here's the thing that breaks my head, right? Labor Day is a celebration, I think, my understanding of like the labor movement, right? That like created trade unions and like worker protection and workers' rights and stuff, right? So like fine, whatever. But like in this city that I'm in, the celebration, the way they celebrate is by putting up the American flag up and down the street. And I this morning on my walk, I'm like, what the hell is the connection here? Like, why? Like, what? I get it for Independence Day. I get it for Veterans Day. I get it for Memorial Day, like whatever. But like, is it just like, oh, well, we've got these flags and we got a guy that we paid to put them up. So let's put them up for Labor Day.
I mean, that's the answer.
I don't think it is the answer because generally,
there's literally a person, probably a guy who like is paid to put up flags in front of people's houses.
Oh no! And,
like that yeah, is know, one of the days. The so that is the literally the reason why you see the flags.
I said hello to him on the 5th of July when I was on my morning walk, and he was driving in his pickup truck, and he would stop, and he would get out, he'd take a flag, and he would roll it up and put it in. Like I've seen the guy, but like they also have like flags they put up for the holidays that are not, you know. We could do something else here. I'm actually going to contact my representative because he replies. Did I tell you about the time I emailed the chief of police here?
No.
I was here like a month, and there was an article in a local paper about which holy cow, there like, let me just say like when people say there are two Americas, holy shit, there are two Americas, and they are completely oblivious to the other one. It's wild. It's so wild. Anyway, there's an article paper about like sensitivity training and like is how it was wrapped up. But the idea was that they were training officers to recognize when another officer was basically being an asshole. So, effectively, like that's the short summary. But I looked at like those list of cities, and like Concord, North Carolina was like the only southern city that was involved in this program. And there were like 10 other cities, but I mean, they were like major cities where you would expect this to be like, you know, very, very, you know, cities that are at least somewhat thoughtful. And, you know, like New York wasn't on the list because, you know, the police are the New York City military, right? But cities that have small police forces and are sensible about policing. So I thought, well, that's interesting. So I sent him an email and said, hey, you know, this is cool. And seems to be a lot more forward thinking than I would expect. And I got a reply, like, you know, and it was like, it wasn't just like a reply, like, thanks. Like, it was like, a couple paragraphs and, you know, some of the reasoning behind it. And then like, I don't know, several months later, like there was an officer involved shooting, which like, okay, what does that mean? Like, whatever. But anyway, an officer died. And so then the city that I was like, oh, well, they're so forward thinking, sent out like put a message on their Facebook or whatever, like, hey, well, if you want, you can support the police by putting out blue lights and come downtown and pick up a free blue light to put on your porch. So like, as I walk down the street now, I can identify the people that are, you know, brainwashed with their blue lights on their porch, which is helpful. Anyway, there's just so much. Where all of it settles is so weird. Like there's all these pieces that are just happening, and where it all settles in and the way people deal with it are so weird. Yeah. The last one I'll leave you with before we get cut off. The neighbors, I think I told you like Katie had like a COVID exposure at some point, like back in July. And this was at, maybe I already told you this. This was at like, we let the kids go to the local Baptist church VBS because it was like, there was that like parental guilt. Like they haven't been around kids. They're doing the thing. Our neighbors are there. They're going to feel comfortable, blah, blah, blah. Show up the first day, like our kids are the only ones in masks, the 110.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.